כל העולם כולו יש יצר מאוד, והעיקר לא לפחד כלל. The whole world is a narrow bridge, but the essence, really the crux of the matter, is not to be afraid. It's the saying of Rabbi Chaim Nachum of Breslov. He was born in 1772 and died in 1811. It's actually best known as a camp song. Now, unfortunately, the melody's changed since I knew camp songs, but the one that I know that some of you may know goes like this. Kol halom kulo gesher tsar meod, gesher tsar meod, gesher tsar meod. And it goes, Ha'ikar, ha'ikar, lo lefachet, lo lefachet ba. Who knows that melody? Okay, good. So there's a whole new one now. So it's best known as a camp song, but it's actually a very serious and deep phrase. Kol halom kulo gesher tsar meod, v'ha'ikar lo lefachet kol. The whole world is a narrow bridge, and the essence is not to be afraid. The focus of my thoughts this evening, in fact, are on fear, because I think actually we're living in a lot of fear. And it turns out, in Hebrew, the holy days are called the Yamim Noraim, which is often translated, and I think correctly, as the days of awe. But it turns out that in Hebrew, the word for awe and the word for fear are the same. And traditionally, the holy days were, in fact, a fearful time for our ancestors, and maybe still for some of us. So think of the imagery for a moment. The book of life, we're told, is open, and God is up on God's throne up there somewhere, and God decides who gets written in the book of life and who gets written in the book of death. Who shall live and who shall die. That's pretty fearful. God as king and judge, sitting in, it's a he in this case, heavenly court, passing judgment on our lives in the year ahead. In truth, I think it's hard for us to relate to this aspect of our tradition, because the myths are dead for us. When I say myth, I don't mean in a pejorative, in a negative way. I simply mean king as majestic and all-powerful doesn't really work for us. The kings that we know of today are pretty impotent, right? So the idea of God as king doesn't really work as well for us, but it did for our ancestors. In fact, our Eastern European ancestors had a much more active religious imagination, and this kind of religious-based fear was real to them. It was real to them in a way that we can't really grasp. They trembled before their God. They trembled. And this was a fearful time. This was a scary time. It was also a hopeful time. So this is a disconnect, I think, from our tradition, from our past, and from today. But still, actually, if we let go of the fact that the myths are dead, they're still meaningful. It's still awesome, for example, to recognize that some of us will not be here next year. Some of us in this room will not be here next year. And our fate, our destiny, our lives are in so many ways out of our control. The truth is, we have not a clue what will happen to us, our loved ones, our community. And when we bump up and face that fact, it can be scary. And then those myths come alive again for us as well. Our European forefathers and mothers also had a lot to be afraid of in a concrete physical way. Poverty, disease, political instability, pogroms. Thankfully, we don't have the same kind of raw existential threats crouching at our door as they did. Now, our fear is more amorphous, like a bad storm, bad weather that's in the distance. You can see the cumulus clouds. You can maybe see the flashes of lightning, and maybe with a great delay, hear the roll of thunder. But it hasn't arrived to our door, at least yet. I believe we are living in a fearful time, globally, I'm not going to list them all, right? Do I need to? Okay, beg me for mercy. Nationally, I mean, it's frightening. It's frightening. Locally, it's also, there's plenty to be afraid of right here in Sonoma County. And then, of course, it's an election year. That's scary in itself. And then both sides really play on our fears. I think one side more than the other, but I'll leave that for you to figure out for yourself. Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzar ma'od v'ha'ikar lo lefached klal. The whole world is a narrow bridge, and the essence is not to be afraid. So now I want to talk a little about fear. I'm going to start with the anatomy of fear. What happens to us physically when we're afraid? Imagine for a moment, I would ask you to close your eyes, but I don't think we have our defibrillator working yet. Imagine for a moment that you're walking along a wooden path. You come around a corner, and there, curled up against a rock in the path, is a huge rattlesnake. It rattles a buzz, it hisses at you, and then it lunges out at you. Actually happened to Laura and I. It didn't strike us. It barely missed us. But it ruined our trip to Yosemite. This is what happens physically. Various parts of the brain signal the nervous system and the organs to prepare to take action. The pupils of the eyes dilate. The bronchioles in the lungs dilate to emit more oxygen. Hairs stand on end. Heart rate and blood pressure rise to supply the body and brain with fuel. The liver begins to break down sugars for quick energy. Blood vessels in the skin contract, causing chills and sweating. The spleen pumps out white blood cells in case there's an injury. Stomach and intestine enzyme secretions and muscle activity needed for digestion stop. And blood vessels in the stomach and intestines contract to divert blood to the muscles. The bladder and the colon prepare to empty. The central portion of the adrenal medulla bloods floods the bloodstream with adrenaline. Breathing quickens. The entire body is in a state of high alert. It's like what every rabbi goes through during the Holy Days. And it's called fight or flight, in layman's terms. The anatomy of fear validates what we feel. Freaked out, overwhelmed, frightened to death, scared. We might say, among other things, okay, but it's helpful, I think, to really understand what this means to us to think in terms of metaphor. And the metaphor that I like to use is a deer in the headlights. Okay? Picture deer in the headlights. Stand like this, eyes wide open, car's coming. And it's thinking to itself, that is a foreign-looking large object. It doesn't look safe. I think it's coming after me. It's going to kill me. I know I should move, but I'm a deer trapped in the headlights. And it's going to run me over. When we are frightened, we have trouble thinking and acting consciously. We lose our minds because of all the physical stuff that's happening. Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzar ma'od v'ha'ikar lo lefached klal. The whole world is a narrow bridge, but the essence is not to be afraid. That's a little bit about the physiology of fear. Now I want to move, really, to how does Judaism help us with fear? And I want to offer a few spiritual responses. I learned these from Rabbi Avi Weiss. He's a great Orthodox rabbi and teacher from the East Coast who came here last year, and I got to hear him speak. The first is from a medieval guy named Rabbi Isaac Abravanel. He was born in 1437. He died in 1508. He grew up and lived in Lisbon and then fled the Spanish Inquisition. He knew a thing or two about fear. His teaching about fear comes actually from his commentary to the book of Genesis, specifically the story of Jacob and Esau. Now, I don't know if we have time for the whole story, but just remember that Jacob stole Esau's birthright. He went away for a long time. And he came back with his wives and kids and everything else. And word came to him that his brother was waiting for him with 400 men. Okay. And he was afraid. And the question is, why would a great man like Jacob, who we're named after, because he gets named Israel, be afraid? That's the issue that Abravanel is dealing with. And what he does is he distinguishes the difference between feeling afraid, acting out of fear, and acting in spite of one's fear. Abravanel says it's human to be afraid and to act out of fear, to run, to hide, to fight. That's human. By the way, I've learned over time that if I act out against someone, and please forgive me, I'm serious, if I did that in the past year to you, that if I do that, it's usually because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of failure, of judgment, of being alone, of death. Usually that's where that action comes from. And I've also learned that when someone acts out against me, at me, they're also usually acting from a place of fear. Usually it's from a place of fear. Because we become psychologically like a cornered animal, reacting from a primitive place of self-protection. It's not very pretty, and it's not very helpful. And as we enter into the new year, it's worth reflecting on how we might have acted out in fear and hurt someone or ourselves. Take a moment. Just take a moment. Did you let someone have it because you were afraid in some way? Next time you let someone have it, when you go over it in your mind, ask yourself, was I afraid? Abravanel says this is human behavior, acting out in fear. However, there's a higher ground we humans can attain, and that is when we act in spite of fear. See, the hero is not fearless. That's called a fool. Right? The hero is not fearless. The fearless person in a real dangerous situation is a fool. The hero is the person who acts in spite of her or his fear. So I'll give you a few examples. One of my heroes, actually heroines, is Lillian Judd. And I don't know if she made it here this evening. But Lillian Judd, amazing woman. I don't know how old Lillian is. She probably wouldn't care if I told you. But she's in her 80s. She's an Auschwitz survivor. She's one of my heroes. And she has many stories of how she acted in spite of her fear. And I was having breakfast with her not too long ago. For the last decade, I've had the privilege of breakfast at her house about once a quarter. She makes me mushroom omelets and so much other food that I don't eat for the rest of the day. And she tells me stories. And this story she told me when I asked her, tell me, Lillian, a story of acting in spite of fear. She said, well, I was in Auschwitz, and I was working in a little factory, and we were forced to cut curtains lengthways into pieces. And we had a quota that we had to make every day. And I struggled to make my quota every day, and if you didn't make your quota, you were either killed or beaten senseless. Some of the ladies knew how to sew, but I had not a clue how to do any of it, but I was holding my own. Someone told us that Yom Kippur was coming. And we decided as a group, me and the other girls that were there, they were 17, 18 years old, that we weren't going to work on Yom Kippur. Well, Lillian, how are you going to do that? Well, we decided that we would make our quota an extra every day and hide the extra under the quota so that when the day of Yom Kippur came, we would make like we're working all day, but we actually wouldn't be cutting any fabric. That's acting in spite of fear. It wasn't a happy story. They got caught. And she barely survived. But that's not the point. And that wasn't her point. She was illustrating for me and for all of us how an everyday person can act in spite of their fear in the most difficult situations. I'll give you another example. I have a great teacher and friend, Moshe Habertal, who lives in Israel.
He's a philosopher, very gentle man. But he grew up in Israel, served in the Israeli army. He was a tank commander. Tells his story. He was ordered to take a village. It was in the West Bank. And he was called in his tank to go to the top of a hill overlooking a valley. Just get your tank to the top of that hill. Fine. He's driving his tank. There's a problem. There's a car in the way. Now he says, the car, his accent I won't try to, he has perfect English, but he has a beautiful accent. Basically says, look, you know the styrofoam cup? Well, that's what a car's like to a tank that we drive in. It would just mush it. And so I had to ask myself, so I just mushed this Palestinian man's car and realized that for him that could have been 20 years of work to own that car. That car could have been his livelihood, meant maybe everything to that family. Or do I stop my tank, get out of my tank, and go door to door, finding who the car is, and asking him to move it? Obviously, if he does that, he's going to put himself in danger. So this is what he does. He gets out of his tank. He goes down to a couple doors. They're not answering. No one's getting out. But finally, someone does. It's my car. Thank you very much. He moves it. He moves his tank into position. That's acting in spite of fear. So those are kind of heroic situations, but these are not heroes. And what I'm going to say to you is that it can be true for us as well. Just by continuing to hope, to dream, to love, and to live towards our highest aspirations, we can act in spite of our fears. It's when we give up that we act in fear. So that's one religious response taught by Rabbi Isaac Abravanel, who lived through the Spanish Inquisition, who fled Lisbon in the 15th century. Another response to fear I want to teach you is from Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, one of the greatest Orthodox thinkers of the 20th century. He relates a story about a psychiatrist in his community who's ready to become Baal Teshuvah, that means born again religious. But there's one concept that's keeping him from making this transition, and that is Yirat Hashem. Anyone know what that is? Fear of God. See, it's a basic theological concept in traditional Judaism. Fear of God. He says, you know, Rabbi, I'm really engaged now religiously. I see a lot of value in Judaism. But I'm a psychiatrist. And I know that fear is a bad thing. And this is my stumbling block. If you can help me over this stumbling block, I'm ready to commit to a more Jewish life. And this is what the great Rav said. He said, this was a very learned man, I am not a psychiatrist, but I know one thing, that fear is a part of being human. Everyone has fear. Fear of failure, fear of loss of money, of aging, of sickness. There is, however, one great fear that pushes away all the other smaller fears. What is that fear? It is fear of the Holy One, blessed be God. It's a traditional name for fear of God. I can leave you here, but you must be asking yourself what I ask myself, and that is, what does this mean to us? What does it mean? Well, let me tell you first what I don't think it means. I don't think he's saying, just have faith. And I'll tell you why. This guy lived through the Shoah, the Holocaust. Not him personally, but he saw most of his community completely obliterated by the Nazis. He knows better than to say that if you have faith, things are going to be okay. I don't believe that's what he meant to say. This is what I think he's teaching. And that is that one way to handle our fears is to place them in a bigger context. And this is hard, but actually it's not all about us. Even if it all goes wrong for us, there's a bigger picture that we are a part of. A higher order that we are connected to, that exists, has meaning and purpose beyond what does or does not happen to us. Reminds me of a song by Leonard Cohen. I'm not sure Rabbi Soloveitchik would appreciate me comparing the two. But we're not going to sing it quite yet. It's a song by Leonard Cohen that Sylvia Borstein many of you know, great teacher, author, and mentor and friend of mine. She has this inscribed inside her siddur, her prayer book. It goes like this. And even when it all goes wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Yirat Shemayim can remove our lower fears, whether they are grounded in reality or not. There is a leap of faith required, but not that everything will be okay or that God will take care of us. I wish it was that simple. The leap of faith is that there's meaning in our lives, doing the right thing matters, being kind is important, generosity is essential, regardless of whatever else happens to us along the way. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, at his first inaugural address, said, "There is only one thing to fear, and that is fear itself." It was the height of the Depression, and at a low point for our country. And thankfully, our financial woes are not as severe, at least not yet, as theirs were. Kanahora. Nevertheless, his words, I think, are instructive in two ways. First, they acknowledge how debilitating fear is, something we've already spoken about this evening. In fact, often the fear is worse than what's actually happening to us. Second, his words intimate a kind of confidence, faith, really kind of faith in our country, and that in the end, our country will be okay. I'll confess, it's hard to have faith in our political leadership. I regularly have to take deep breaths when I read the morning news. You know, we get the paper, we don't get TV, I read the paper, and I always see what's happening in the political campaign, and depending on who is in the polls leading, I have a little minor panic attack. But as challenging it is for me to have faith in our political leadership, it's easy for me to believe in you, actually. And I have the greatest respect and admiration for the leadership of this community. I wish they were running the White House. I also believe in the spirit of America. The Jewish community has prospered here in America like no other time in our history. America is a great, if not troubled, country for us and so many other people. We have reason to fear, but we have reason to hope as well. You know, for the past 2,000 years or so, Jews have been saying the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." We've been saying that prayer through thick and thin, in prosperity and in utter poverty, in security and at the edge of the knife of genocide. Wherever we've been, and whatever our lot has been, we have said, "Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim." At times, it seemed like a shout into the void. But saying the Shema is our way of saying that we will not give up. We will not give in to fear. If God is one, then our world can be one.
We can end war, poverty, sickness, and disease. We can stop the poisoning of our planet, reverse the effects of global warming. We can, in the biblical idiom, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. If God is one, then we can all be one, and together heal ourselves and our world. So here we are. The new year is upon us. We have not a clue what will be. Who will win the election? What will happen overseas? Who shall live? And who shall die? We know there will be challenges. We can imagine many frightful outcomes. But we also know that fear is the enemy, and coping with our fear is essential for a new year of blessings, for ourselves, for our families, for our community, for our country. Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tzar me'od v'ha'ikar lo lefached klal. The whole world is a narrow bridge, but the essence is not to be afraid. Hey.